Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Termical Terminal Fan, Sun Guy here with you on a Sunday. Appears we are having some technical difficulties, so bear with us just for a moment. Just bear with us, folks. Sometimes it happens here. Let me try some things here. Alright, I believe our guest has made it, so let me bring him on right away. And a quick reminder, if you're looking for wrestling today, you can find myself in Portland for Blue Collar Wrestling today. Also over in Kentucky, you have Prime Time Wrestling happening in Georgetown, so make sure you get out there and check out some local wrestling. But without further ado, our guest today, from the aforementioned Portland area, he has recently competed for Blue Collar Wrestling, NWWA, and some other promotions, including the Portland Lucha Libre. Billy Moon, welcome to the show.
What's up, Sign Guy?
Not doing too badly today. Now, since today happens to be your first day with us, we are going to give you the traditional first-timers question to start. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Before I say anything, what's the content rating here? Am I allowed to say the bad words? Or?
Yeah, we aren't going to censor you if that's what you're worried about.
Oh, fuck yeah, okay. That would just destroy my entire vocabulary. So, how did I get into the business? Well, I'm going to admit something that you should never admit and say that since I was 13 years old, I was a backyard wrestler. Started off with just my friend in my own backyard, you know, fucking choke slamming dudes through tables and shit, as you do when you're 13 years old. And I ended up finding some other kids who made a makeshift ring in their backyard. I say they're kids, but they're mostly in their, like, mid-20s. Kind of pathetic, but yeah, I hung out with them up until I was, like, 18, working these little-ass backyard shows in a ring made out of, like, plywood and 4x4s from Home Depot. And eventually, I heard about the Grapplers Wrestling Academy. And I went to the gym for the first time in my life and worked out for 3 months solid before showing up there. And my first day, I felt like I was in great shape. And the grappler, first time I ever met him, was like, kid, have you ever been to the gym before? And I just wanted to die. But, you know, 4 years later, I'm doing this shit, so...
Now, the grappler icon in Portland, one of the most famous wrestlers of the Don Owens Portland territory days, he is still around to this very day, splits his time
down
between
Texas,
here
yeah.
and in Texas. But when you got someone like the grappler questioning you at the very start, what's the mindset? Did it inspire you to do twice the work? Were you more intimidated? What was the feeling when he was saying that?
Oh, it was intimidating as hell at first, but, you know, Grappler is a fucking incredibly cool guy, and, you know, I grew on him like a fucking fungus, and after a while, I was kind of the mascot, more or less, because when I started out, I was the drizzling shits, and nobody thought I would make it more than like a month. But joke's on them. I'm still here.
Now, you personally have been not only a singles competitor, but you've been part of a few different factions and a few different tag teams in your day. Everybody within wrestling, for the most part, is aware of the differences being a singles competitor versus being part of a group or part of a tag team. It's a different mindset going into those things. Do you have a personal preference when it comes to being on your own versus being part of either a faction or a tag team?
You know, I never set out to be, like, you know, a faction guy or a tag team guy, but I always end up getting paired up with, like, you know, either close friends or trainers or something. And they're two such different things that, like, as soon as I got out of 4 minutes of heat, I was telling myself I'm never going to be in a tag team again, and I'm just going to do singles forever. But then, like, maybe a month later, the Cool Heels formed, which I don't know. There's not a whole lot of information about the formation of the Cool Heels, but, like, there was never just two guys and then more. It all kind of formed as an idea for all of us to be part of this. So it's not like there was two originals and then somebody else joined, somebody else joined. From the start, there was always a vision of all of us having the spot. But yeah, I mean, I can't pass up, like, Eric Wright was one of the people who had a hand in training me. And Richard Sincere, like, as soon as he joined, he kind of took an active, I wouldn't say trainer role because he'd hate that, but he definitely brought something else to the table, to training. So, like, two people I respect more than pretty much anybody else in the business were like, hey, you want to do this? And I was like, yes, yes, I do. But, yeah, man, I guess I like doing singles matches, but I guess my talents are more trained towards tag team. And as long as, you know, I'm getting booked, I'll do whatever.
Now, for the people that are uninitiated, like you mentioned, you are part of the Cool Heels faction. I'm sure a lot of listeners hear that and they're wondering, do you guys not wear socks? Is that where the Cool Heels come into play?
Yeah, you know, brother, we're just kayfabing all day. Wow.
Fair enough. I mentioned Eric Wright and, of course, Richard Sincere and, in some places, Al Tubbs have this faction going, and it's gone to several different promotions now. Merchandise is starting to pick up. Your main eventing were pretty much everywhere you go. Did you think at the start of the Cool Heels that you were going to be this big in the entire region this soon, or was that something that you figured from the start?
Well, honestly, man, like, our first intention was just getting us all together on these shows. Like, we were never worrying about, like, our place on the card, or it was all, like, those promos that really got Cool Heels over. We're just dumb shit that we were doing to pop ourselves. But, you know, as shit happens, like, you put in work and you actually put some passion into the kind of stuff you're doing, and it resonates and people really latch on to it. So as soon as I saw those first few promos, like the, I can't even remember the first few ones. There was the car promo, and I think the coffee promo were some of the first. I saw that and I'm like, this shit's going to be huge. I mean, as huge as you can get in the Pacific Northwest, because, like, I don't want to bury the area, but not a whole lot of people giving a shit around here. So, I think it's just the fact that we've got such different personalities and the clash. I mean, I'm not a scientist when it comes to wrestling, but I knew it was going to be something special, just maybe not as big so soon, I guess. I'm happy about it, though.
I mentioned the merchandise, and the merchandise of the Cool Heels also maybe a little controversial within certain circles as well. What's been the sales for the merchandise? Have you seen a lot of interest in it? Do people understand what you're doing with your merchandising, or does it just appear to look nice for them and they end up buying a shirt or a hat or what have you?
I think it's kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge for, you know, the, you know, quote unquote smart marks. I mean, everybody pops for a little bit of an inside reference on a shirt.
Have you actually have a lot of fans that approach you with the merchandise and ask you to explain what it is so they're fully aware of what it is, or do people just put it on and seem to have a understanding of what you're trying to say?
I've never personally had anybody ask me what, like, March means on the back of the shirt. I think that's a universal enough phrase that anybody who's been around wrestling, especially anybody who will buy a ticket to an indie show, probably gets it. And if not, you know, maybe they just think that their new name is Mark. Whatever. I mean, they're wearing the shirt.
That is true. Very true. Now, the Cool Heels, like I said, in a lot of places are managed by Al Tubbs. But in certain circumstances, it seems that you sometimes act as a de facto manager for when Eric Wright and or Richard Sincere are in the ring. Is managing something that you find yourself a little bit familiar with as far as doing that role, or is it just something that organically happened for you?
Well, in my old team, I kind of got shuffled into the manager role a lot because, you know, bullshit, bullshit, politics, politics. And at first, I was pretty salty about it, but, you know, like, it's a place to be, and, you know, I never want to take that spot away from Tubbs, because that's his whole thing. But, you know, if the booker's like, hey, man, I need you out there with him, and I've got experience doing it. I did it on TV for, like, 6 months, and then on various shows once in a while for the past, like, 2 years, so... I mean, I don't mind doing it, and I think I've got a skill for it, but definitely not, like, you know, my main intention as a wrestler, at least until my body gives out. And then, like, you know, at least I've got a fallback.
Never hurts to know every single role on a card just to have it in your back pocket when need be.
Absolutely.
Another aspect of wrestling that a lot of people will gravitate towards when their in-ring competing days are numbered is the role of booker. It's one of the more thankless jobs a lot of times, one of the more underrated jobs by the people outside of the industry. Is that role something that you've ever considered doing or would have an interest in doing at some point?
Never. It takes a certain kind of political mind to be able to do shit like that, and you got to be able to lie and fuck your friends over, and I just never interested me. I don't even play, like, the booking simulator video games. I mean, I'd rather be out in front of people instead of doing some shit in an office. Like, I'd be a commentator before I'd be a booker. Especially since most of the bookers I know are miserable because of the job, or they like the job way too much and everybody hates them because of it. So, like, that's just not my bag.
You mentioned being a commentator before being a booker. Blue Collar Wrestling happens to have a couple of very good commentators in Mason Storm and Douglas Rockefeller. Have you spent much time with them trying to learn that aspect of the business so at some point you might transition into being a commentator and have a little bit of knowledge going into that?
Not really, man. I mean, I hang out with Douglas once in a while, like, you know, at shows, because I think he's hilarious. But I think I've only commentated, like, once in the past 2 years. And that was, I think you were at that show, at the last World Underground show.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, and I accidentally turned a baby face because I was pissed off and just kind of going into business for myself and putting Richard over. And then all of a sudden everybody's popping and I'm like, oh shit, what am I doing?
I definitely remember that, yeah. One of the other aspects of pro wrestling that a lot of times people within and outside of the industry don't fully appreciate is the role of referees. A lot of times they can actually save a bad match and make it passable, or they can take a good match and completely sink it if they don't know what they're doing or if they just don't want to see the match succeed for some reason. I know you've been around a good number of referees so far in your career, going across several promotions. Who would you say are some of the better referees out there right now?
Well, everybody's sung Aubrey's praises all day, and, you know, the proof is there. She's got a fucking contract now. But as far as referees that I came up with that I really respect, of course, there's... Oh, man, I don't want to use his shoot name, but that's what I know him as. Give me a second. Benjamin Roberts. Like, you know, he's up at Defy. He's all over the place. I wouldn't be surprised if he got contracted soon. And I've been around since his first day of training. And kind of an intense guy, but takes his job and ring crew and pretty much everything he does incredibly seriously. And I respect the shit out of him. Buddy Ruth. Another guy who I trained with, who was just fantastic. Still, like, you know, he's only been doing this for about a year, but in that year, he's come a long way. Really like this guy, you might have heard of him, Sign Guy. He's a good hand. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I don't know if he has a work name, but, Jacob at BCW.
Aaron Thomas is whom you're thinking of.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah. Whatever he calls himself, he's really enthusiastic, and he's all right. You know, still needs work, but I don't mind having him in my matches. And also, I don't know this guy's work name either, but Brian at BCW is also... He's getting there, and he puts up with a lot of bullshit for me, because, like, I usually don't grab a ref by the face and kiss him on the mouth after a match, and he just loved it and popped like crazy for it, so. Yeah, he's going to be good.
Well, it looks like we have someone else that you might know on the line here. Let's bring them on. Do we have the caller out of Portland?
Yes, hello.
Hello, do you have a question from Billy Moon?
Yes, I would just like to say this is Billy Moon's father. Hello, Billy. Son, I love you very much. You are very impressive. You are a good boy. We are loving you. Your grandmother, she listening to interview. She loved listening to you. We will be having hot dogs at 5:30, Billy, so make sure you come home after interview. But we love you. And, oh, shit. Grandma fell out of chair. Billy, come home now. Billy, Grandma out of chair. Come home now.
Why is my dad Russian?
It sounds like maybe you're related to Petrov.
Yeah.
No. That Petrov is a Russian bear who fuck pig. I do not associate with him.
All right.
Oh, fuck.
Hello.
Well, Billy, it sounds like there might be some family issues going on for you.
Billy, grab a fellow out of chair. She very badly hurt.
Man, you know, you got some nerve calling me after going out with cigarettes and never coming back 20 years ago. Now you resurrected my goddamn grandmother and you let her fall out of her chair. What kind of father are you?
Billy, I have tried to tell you many times. I did not leave for cigarettes. I left for PCP.
Bo, you motherfucker. Is that you?
Well, looks like your father may have gone back out for some more PCP.
I put $5 on that being Bo Clark. That motherfucker. Bo, if that was you, I love you, boy.
Well, Billy, one of the things I have noticed in my days in wrestling is a lot of times guys will have particular tape rituals that they go through. Some people have to apply their tape in a certain way in order to feel that they're ready for their match. Some people write things on their tape. Some people have specific collars that they wear. Some of them have specific types of tape that they gravitate towards. Have you picked up any tape rituals over the course of your career?
You know, I used to buy tape, and I never really had any ritual to it. I got tired of hyperextending my fucking wrist. But I got tired of having to go through the shit all the time, so I just bought some wrist wraps. And I don't even wear them anymore. Like, you know, if some, like, catastrophic thing happens in my life and I want to, like, very quietly pay tribute to it, yeah, I'll wear some tape and I'll write some shit on it. But that's only happened, like, once or twice. And it wasn't, like, I think when my ferret died, I wrote his name on my tape. And Matt Stryker thought that it was, like, why do you have Kaz's name on your tape? And I was like, oh no, it's not ECW Taz, it's my dead ferret Taz. And man, there's something else. I think it was some worker, it was a long time ago, so like shows how much I'm I remember. Yeah, it was when Virgil Flynn died. I wrote VF3 on my tape for a month or two. But yeah, those are the only times I've really put any thought into my tape.
Well, we have come to the portion of the show where we have a game we like to play. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I'll ask you a series of two options, and the one that you prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
I'm on. Let's go.
All right, the first one, trunks or tights?
Tights, 100%. My legs look like shit.
Eye gouge or hair pull?
Hair pull, all day. That's my kink, boy.
Boots or barefoot?
Dude, boots, all day. I'm not Bubba Blanchard, and I can't pull off that barefoot shit.
Banana or apple?
Cool. Well, if you see my Joey Ryan promos, I'm not a fan of bananas. So, apples.
Frisbee or kite?
I really like for disc golf, so I'm going to go with Frisbee.
Marvel or DC?
Ooh, man, that's a toss-up, because when I was a teenager, I would have said DC all fucking day. And Sandman is my favorite comic, and that's technically on the DC imprint. But, you know, as you get older, I think for most people you gravitate towards Marvel, and that's where most of my interest is now. So I'm going to have to say Marvel now.
John Cena or John Nord?
Ooh. That's another tough thing, because, like, you know, as a kid, I would have said, fuck John Cena all day. But, you know, you do this shit long enough and you start to respect guys like John Cena who, you know, they get all the shit in the world, but they pull in crazy amounts of revenue. I mean, obviously an incredible worker, as, you know, a lot of people would say, great worker, not a great wrestler. But, you know, you could say the same about Hogan. But, you know, Northwest guy, I got to say John Nord, because, God, I wish he was still around training or doing, like, anything. But didn't he move, like, down south?
Believe he's back in his native Minneapolis.
Ah, yeah. But yeah, Nord all day.
The Observer or the Wrestling Torch?
I don't want this to come back on me if for some reason I end up in the Tokyo Dome and I become the first man to have a zero-star Tokyo Dome match, so I'm going to go Observer. Don't bury me, Daddy Meltzer.
All right, the last one. Pinfall or submission?
Pinfall. Sincere is going to burn me alive for that, but pinfall.
All right. Now, in your career, I have noticed that a lot of times your opponents like to knife-edge chop you, and I'm sure a lot of them have gotten you fairly good with those chops. To this point, who would you say has given you the hardest knife-edge chop that you've endured?
Marcus Malone, no question, 100%. Dude has hands of fucking steel.
All right. I can definitely see that. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has some questions as well. So, Thez, help you as I pass things along to QT.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Billy.
What's up, QT?
Billy, I'd like to expand on our word association. I mean, bring on the choice, bring on the funk. Are you ready for a short, extended version of bring on the choice, bring on the funk?
Go for it, Doug.
South Park or the Banana Splits?
South Park all day.
Oh, okay. Prostitute Mickey or Bob's Burgers?
I really don't like Bob's Burgers, and that's probably controversial as shit. But I have no idea what the fuck Prostitute Mickey is, so I'm just going to have to go with Bob's Burgers on default.
Oh, okay. Well, might I recommend after this show is over that you can go on YouTube and look up Prostitute Mickey. It's about a downtrodden mouse that has hit life hard in the ghetto, and he's friends with Goofy, who seems to be high on meth and crack. Yes, Goofy.
That sounds like first. Right in my wheelhouse, so I'll check that out.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Moon, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, tell me that on or about February 20th, that you had a wrestling match at a place called Harvey's Comedy Club. Is this true?
Yeah, probably. Was that my dark match with McHaggis?
I think it was, yes.
Yeah, that was my second match ever as Billy Moon.
Wow. All right. Can you tell our listeners where Harvey's Comedy Club is, the general vicinity?
It's like, if you've never been to Portland, it's 2 blocks away from the bus, train, and Greyhound station, which means it is the worst neighborhood in Portland. Just if you want to see a rogues gallery of insane, drugged out homeless people, you just walk down that block. I've never had more hilarious encounters with transient and drugged out people than setting up the ring at Harvey's. Once Eric Wright had a homeless woman fire him for moving boards. Right in the center of downtown Portland, where all the magic happens and where all the homeless people shit on the side of the street. It got nothing against homeless people, but, you know, like, yikes.
Oh, all right, so it's not in Burnside.
No, also fuck Burnside. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wow, all right. Well, Mr. Moon, did you know that BCW referee T-Rex has done stand-up comedy in Longview, Washington?
Man, there's a lot of insensitive jokes I could make there that I'm just not going to touch. No, I wasn't aware.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Mr. Moon, is it true that you were in a cage match at the Salem Scottish Rite Center on the WCWC card with Rockin' Ricky Gibson?
I've only been in one cage match, and Ricky was there, but he was my tag team partner, and that was at NWA in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was me, Ricky Gibson, and Eddie Pearl against Draven, Tectonic, and Julian White.
Ooh, Tectonic and Draven, huh? How did you prepare for such a cage match?
I went downstairs in the Milwaukee Elks Lodge, took a shower, and cried for a minute.
Did that seem to help?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was ready to die at that point. I'd gotten all my negative emotions out.
Holy smoke. Now, when you were a kid and doing those backyard wrestling events with plywood from Home Depot, did you ever construct a cage? Did you have cage matches as a
kid? No, we could barely construct the ring, man. Like, we had our fucking turnbuckles breaking all the time. Once we had the brilliant idea to use cable ropes with wooden posts, you can imagine how that turned out.
Holy smokes. Did your mom or dad ever come to these backyard events, or were they announcers?
You know, man, my dad actually has been to more of those backyard events than he has my professional events, because, you know, the backyard events were free.
Oh, free,
but,
yes.
I haven't had much family interaction with any of my professional wrestling career.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, Billy, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, what is the tattoo on your upper left, your left upper chest? What's a tattoo symbolize?
Really, man, to be honest, it was just a cover-up, and I came into the tattoo parlor with one idea that the artist told me wasn't going to work. So he opened up his art book and went through some stuff. I saw the skull with a dagger, and I'm like, that looks cool. I mean, I really wish there was a deeper meaning to the tattoo, and, you know, I've got some planned in the future that do have a deeper meaning, but this one was just like, I've got a shitty tattoo, and I want to get rid of it. So that's the meaning behind that one.
Oh, okay. All right. What are some of the cooler tattoos you have seen on wrestlers in the Northwest, and does Sarah Irene have any?
I have not seen any tattoos on Sarah, but I don't get that close to her because I think Paul Preston would take exception to that. As far as the coolest tattoos I've seen, Jeremy Blanchard has a tattoo of Hank Hill on his bicep, which from day one I thought is the most hilarious fucking thing I've ever seen. Dr. Cleaver's crawfish on his chest. Love that one. Drexel, actually. Like, every tattoo he has is something that I mark out for, and I always catch new ones whenever I'm around him. Yeah, every tattoo that Drexel has. He's got a Hunter S. Thompson's logo. He's got Jay and Silent Bob. Like, just some hilarious, crazy shit that somehow all blends together. I really dig Drexel's tattoos.
I think Derek would do good to get a Boomhauer tattoo from King of the Hill. Boomhauer.
Dude, I'd love it.
Yes. Do you think Kevin Brandt will ever get a tattoo? Kevin Brandt.
Well, Kevin Brandt is like 90. I don't think he's in the business of any tattoos at this point.
Well, he might get that middle age rebellious streak. Middle age.
Oh, yeah. He might break bad. He might just go full left punk. I mean, if he does, good on him. I love Kevin.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Billy, there are many people in the political world who believe that Russia may have interfered in the 2016 presidential elections. Are there any fears among NWWA wrestlers that Russia will hack into the organization and influence the outcome of matches?
Man, you know, if they got involved, it would only make things better.
Oh, boy. Did you know that it was Russian Week on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show? And this full month, we are interviewing Russian wrestlers?
Yeah, I heard about that, which confused me as to why I was scheduled for this, because I'm like 80% Norwegian. So, like, I'm in proximity, but I'm not quite there.
Oh, yes, it does border Russia, Norway. Yes, I brought that up on our last interview. My question is, have you ever been to Norway?
Oh, absolutely not. But my family is actually only like fourth generation American.
Wow.
My great grandparents were immigrants.
Wow, fantastic. Okay. When will we see a debut or have a Norwegian wrestler come to Portland and wrestle, do you think? A Norwegian wrestler.
Man, I'm not even sure about the pro wrestling scene up in Norway. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if there was one, or at least, you know, a fledgling one. But, you know, if any Norwegian promoters want to hit me up and bring an American-Norwegian out to their promotion to – I mean, I'd probably fit in pretty well there as, like, an openly Satanist goth kid, but, you know, who knows? I hope we get some representation. Not like it really matters to me. It's just really, at this point, Norwegian dudes are just another white guy in the ring, and I'm not going to start crying out for more white dudes in wrestling, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, when you do your YouTube video search of the cartoon Prostitute Mickey, you can also look up Norwegian wrestling scene. Yes, that'll be your homework.
Good idea.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Billy, the Circle Jerks were formed in 1979 in Los Angeles by former Black Flag member Keith Morris. About a year later, Henry Rollins took up the singing role in Black Flag. My question is, have you considered using their song Live Fast, Die Young as your entrance music from the Circle Jerks?
You know, I do dig that song, but, you know, if we're going for a Keith Morris song and, like, beyond Black Flag or Circle Jerks or any of his other bands, I'd probably go with Nervous Breakdown because that's where the hell did this guy from Black Flag go? And I was like, oh, Circle Jerks. So I started listening to them, and if it was going to be a Circle Jerks song, it'd probably be Wild in the Streets, because that song pops me like crazy every time. But I've got a long list of, you know, like, I took pride in a long time of having like the most indie and most punk entrance musics of anybody that I knew. But like at this point, I'm just trying to stick with one. But you know, it never say never. It wouldn't be high on the list, but I can always get down on some Circle Jerks.
Okay. How about any entrance music by Bad Brain?
Man, I wish I got more into Bad Brains, honestly. Because, like, they're so historic, and they're just, you know, they're a little missing piece of my punk rock history that I really need to expand more on.
Yes.
Well, guys, we have another caller. Let's bring him on real quick. We have the caller from the 971 area code.
Yeah, the gold standard.
Paul Moonshine.
The silver standard?
Hey, it's the gold standard. And let's just make sure that you refer me to as the gold standard.
Well, Paul, do you have anything you want to say to Billy Moon?
I said, how you doing, Billy?
I'm doing okay, Paul. Unlike the quality of this podcast, which is about to take a dramatic dip since you've called in.
I don't think so. We're on the same side now, so you need to realize that.
I don't think I'm on the same side as the freak show, but I get what you mean.
But yeah, well, there's going to be a day that the cool heels will be facing the freak show, and that's not going to be picnic for anybody.
We're not going to be facing anybody at BCW in the immediate future since we're still banned for 3 weeks.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But there's going to be a time that the cool heels will come back eventually, and when they do, that I'm sure that they're going to be wanting to. The freak show and cool heel be wanting to tangle one another in this, and it might be an all day job.
Yes.
But anyway, I just wanted to get on here and say hi to you, and I knew you were on here today, so I'm gonna get ready to be. I got two matches today to concentrate on Big B going against that ingrate son of mine, Davey Moonshine, and then we're putting up the tag team, worldwide tag team titles, the free show titles against Death Exciting and Bad Blood.
Well, good luck with that, Pa.
Well, thanks again, and I'm going to do everything I can to get in my way. I've got a surprise for him. So, yeah, you have a good rest of the show, and DT, I'm still. You know, just because I'm on the other side of the fence doesn't mean that I've got my sight set on you also.
Well, Pa, I've always had your back, and you are the Iggy Pop of BCW. That's a very high compliment,
oh,
Iggy Pop.
Don't bury Iggy Pop like that.
Billy, he's burying me.
I think everybody got
compared to Iggy Pop is a hell of a compliment.
Yes.
And Shine Guy, I'm still watching you, and the free show is going to be more dangerous than ever. So you just better do what you're told and do things the right way.
I've never not done that.
Yeah, you've never not done that. All the times that I've been injured and put in the hospital because of your stupidity and not doing things the right way. Okay.
Fair enough, you know, if you get hurt, you get hurt. Rough sport.
Yeah,
Billy Moon, Paul kind of brought something up. It is a rough sport, and things happen out there. Everybody gets the occasional injury. What's some of the injuries that you've had so far?
Oh, man, I got a list. Some of the minor ones. I've ended up with bursitis in my left ankle, in my right hip. I've been knocked out once. I've had my face crushed twice. Thankfully, no orbital bone damage, so that's nice. And on two separate occasions, I've had lung lacerations, which is something nobody else has ever heard of in wrestling, so I guess that's just special to me. My first year of training, I just took a really stiff kick in the ribs and ended up getting a little laceration on my lung that kept me out for 3 months. And then in a TV tryout match for WC, which was never posted on the internet, I'm not going to name the guy, but he decided to shoot on me when I trusted him and gave me the most ridiculously accelerated spine buster that you have ever seen, and ended up turning my lung into somewhat of a stomp rocket and blowing all my bronchial lobes out, and I was coughing up blood, like pools of blood, backstage until I finally went to the hospital and ended up out of the ring for a month and a half that time. So, yeah.
Talking about injuries.
Why is Paul still here?
Yeah, just you just never mind. Speaking of injuries,
dear God.
Jameson a couple of weeks ago suffered an injury, and he may be out for 9 months.
I didn't know pregnancy was considered an injury.
Huh?
I didn't know pregnancy was considered an injury. Say 9 months.
Yeah, right. That's what the doctor told him anyway. I guess when he was in that match with Mac, injured his ACL and he may have to have surgery. He's going to be a BCW tonight.
Hopefully he gets well. Never a good day in the office when you blow an ACL. Now, QT, I believe you had a couple more questions for Billy.
Yes, and stay tuned here. Billy, Chuck Biscuits played in bands like Black Flag, Danzig, Social Distortion, and the Circle Jerks. What would it mean to you if Chuck Biscuits could manage the Cool Heels for a one-time gig, and also if Chuck Biscuits could bar Paw Moonshine from ringside?
I mean, I'd rather Chuck Biscuits just bars him from this podcast. But, I mean, I would always pop for any punk icon to be a part of the Cool Heels. I mean, Chuck is a little bit of a deep cut, even though he's been, like, you know, in DOA and a bunch of seminal fucking punk bands. But, you know, if I had to pick, like, a punk guy to manage us, I'd have to go with, like, you know, Jell-O. So I feel like Jell-O could cut a hell of a wrestling promo.
Jell-O Biafra, the Dead Kennedys, yeah.
Yeah, man, that would be incredible. But, Deep Cut, actually, speaking of punk rock bands, back when I was just starting out my first year, I wrestled as Billy Cole. And that was a throwback and a little Deep Cut nudge to, the Portland scene, because my my deep lore was that I was the grandchild of Fred and Tootie Cole from Dead Moon, who was actually family friends of mine.
Wow. All right. Well, Billy, how much would it mean to you if there was a raffle and someone won this raffle, and as his raffle prize, he could get Pa Moonshine to sing Holidays in Cambodia by the Dead Kennedys during intermission at a BCW event? How much would that mean to you, Holidays in Cambodia?
I would probably die, but I would pay a lot of money to see that happen.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Pa Moonshine has ever been able to speak that fast.
Well, I think he's a very eloquent speaker, yes. Well, Billy.
Anyway, Nick.
The Phoenix Kid is an important part of lucha wrestling in the Northwest. Were you a big fan of lucha wrestling growing up? And are you a big fan of lucha wrestler Darth Carta, who has had success at La Problemitas in Bremerton?
Well, first off, I'm going to stop you there and say nobody has ever had success in La Problemitas in Bremerton, Washington. As far as lucha, when I was growing up, I was more of I didn't dislike lucha. It's just, my experience with lucha was, what you got in America. Is like, Mysterio, Guerrero, Hoovy, Psychosis, guys like that. And I'm like, yeah, I dug them a lot. But growing up, imagine this, I was a edgy teenager, and I was a big mark for hardcore wrestling. So, yeah, as much as I like Lucha Libre, and shout out to Phoenix Kid, by the way, I love that midget. Not exactly my favorite genre of wrestling, even though, I work with a lot of luchadors. Yeah, I really dig Lucha Libre, just not exactly my favorite.
Well, we can only hope that Darth Carta will wrestle Pa Moonshine one of these days. That'd be good.
Yeah, Pa's just going to end up back in the hospital then.
Okay, at this point, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and good luck with your prostitute Mickey on YouTube.
I've got plenty of experience with prostitutes, so I don't need the luck.
Oh, my. Okay.
Ooh. All right, thank you, QT. Well, Billy, we have a few minutes of the show left, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you want, social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite used car lot, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. I'm going to take a deep breath and try to get all this done quickly. So, every Sunday at the North Portland Eagles Lodge, Blue Collar Wrestling. The Cool Heels are currently banned, but we're working to remedy that situation. And even though we're not there, it's a hell of a product, and you should follow it. So hit them up, Blue Collar Wrestling on Facebook. Give them a follow. Go to their shows. And while you're at those shows, when we're back, just buy as many Cool Heels shirts as you can, because that means we can make more Cool Heels shirts, and you can buy more Cool Heels shirts. I'm in the process of making some merch of my own. It's just a matter of funding, which is quickly being remedied. Every month at Rockwood Preparatory Academy is Portland Lucha Libre's house shows, as well as Portland Lucha Libre ends up doing a lot of these festivals in the area. And if there is any kind of weird little outdoor festival, chances are that we'll be there, and I'm always there doing some ridiculous shit. I did a lap dance at a festival last month. So follow PDX Lucha Libre on Facebook. I am currently wrestling for NWA. Stay posted on that. But for now, you can like NWA on Facebook. And now that I'm done being a company man, my shit is, let me make sure, I have to check my Facebook URL. So my Facebook URL is facebook.com/BillyMoonRises. My Instagram is TheRatKing, Z with two E's, RatKing. That is also my Twitch stream. And my Twitter is TheOnlyRatKing because somebody took the RatKing. And finally, Cool Heels social media is just facebook.com/CoolHeels. That's where all the best shit we do is going to get posted. That's where you can keep up with all of our dates and all the ridiculous shit that we get up to. And we're going to be dropping a really great video sometime today or tomorrow that everybody should check out because we put a lot of work into it, and it's going to be fucking hilarious. And if any rats are listening to this and love the sound of my voice, you can catch me at any of those shows or hit me up on Facebook. My preference is goth girls under 200 pounds, but, you know, we can always, work on that. Also, just since I'm done being political, I just want to say fuck Ricky Gibson, fuck Max Burnside, fuck Natty Russom, and fuck the Juice Box Kids. And that's all for me.
All right, well, Billy Moon, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate it greatly. And when the ban is lifted, I'm sure I'll be seeing you at an arena near me.
And you might be seeing me sooner than later, sign guy.
Duly noted. Well, fans, definitely get out there, support Billy Moon and what he's doing with the Cool Heels. When you get the chance, buy a ticket and pick up a t-shirt. We will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, Russia Month continues with Alex Trevecco. And we will be back with you 1 week from today. And 1 week from today, we'll be joined by Heidi Katrina. So definitely be with us then. Get out there, support your local independents, and we'll talk to you soon.
Once they turn me on,